Blog Talk Radio.
Because of reliance shall break every chain. The conquering lion shall break every chain. Again and again, again, again. Give him the victory. Oh, the conquering lion shall break every chain. The conquering lion.
Okay.
Yo,
it says
Maher.
I'm.
Go ahead.
I heard it say I'm unmuted.
Are you on, Brother Maher?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah. He had me unmuted, and then it must have muted me, and then it said unmuted.
Boy, I tell you, I called in 1:46 and couldn't get in.
I got in at 12:46 because I tried to get in a minute before that, and it said try your something about the call again in 1 minute or whatever. And then immediately it was like, let me get in. It made me delay, which means that there's a whole bunch of people who jumped on that bad boy. And you said, Brother Drew, this is like what? It's 50 now?
Yeah, it's I don't know. But we're going to talk what is paganism and how did it enter the three religions, meaning that we do history in a chronological order. So what we finna go up and look at the Roman Empire from BCE 222 through the 4th century CE. It was the chief rival of Christianity, which history shows the order of converted paganism into the believing of Yehudaism. See, nobody knows what Yehudaism, if you ain't been in our class under Kahane, you wouldn't know what Yehudaism is. You look like me and you, Brother Mahar and Brother Drew. And see, the only way that you can understand this is we go back and trace the history of a sect of Yehudaism called the Nazarenes. No longer existed openly under Gnostic teaching because for one simple reason, they would kill them. And you had to first understand that your present-day Christianity, or what you got, that was given to you in 1870 with the 13th and 14th Amendment, because then nobody know anything. You weren't allowed to worship Jesus until then. And when they gave you Jesus, they gave you two churches. You could be Second Baptist, you couldn't be First Baptist. Up under the leadership of the First Baptist Church, you couldn't be Christian Methodist Episcopal. You either was Colored Methodist Episcopal or African Methodist Episcopal. These are only two religions that you could worship at that period in time. You ain't been able to have the Holy Ghost with every religion till after 1970. That you didn't go back and check. So we're gonna check out everything. Now the best thing in the world for you to do is that the first thing to get rid of paganism, you have to get rid of the calendar that you own. That removes all paganism out of everything is your calendar. Your calendar is totally paganism. How do we know paganism and who this nation of people? Your Bible is very clear about it. The Quran is very clear about it. The Torah is very clear about it, that these people are Magog and Gog. Well, then you would have to know who these people are in this present day, and that would be Russia, the United States, and Great Britain. That's these people that we're talking about, these people that's fighting now. They've been fighting their cousins. They've been fighting for ever since they became what they call civilized. If you go in your dictionary, look up the word barbarian, pagan, heathen, cannibal. I find it simply amazing if it tell you Germanic race of people, it will not tell you somebody that look like us. See, somebody look like us don't understand who this Germanic race of people is. They don't understand none of this. So we are trying to enlighten you on what we know. Now, the Roman religion at that time was called Mithraism. It was an all-male religion that the Carthaginians, that's the people of Carthage, the Carthage sailors, this was they prayed to a god named Mithra. Mithra is an avastar god of Hinduism. Hinduism is the oldest religion in the world. Everything started with Hinduism, all religion. All religion got Hinduism in it if you study the history in a chronological order. Now, first tribe, barbarian tribe of this people that was accepted Christianity was the Gauls. Well, the Gauls is the land. The people that lived there was the Ostrogoths and Visigoths. If you go check these movies out, called The Last Kingdom, they just started a new series on it on Netflix. Kingdom of Heaven, the Ottoman, or the history of the Gauls. What we are talking about right now, they put it in these movies exactly of, in a timeline chart, just like they did here. How we know that Christianity is Mithraism is that we go back into the Roman Catholic Church and get their timeline of when they went and established and put paganism into the, your present-day Christianity. The worship of Mithra on Wednesday night was prayer service to Mithra. And I think that you have it every Wednesday. I know you didn't know why you went. You call it midweek. Why you go to prayer service. When you go there, you're praying to Mithra. You mm-hmm. had to be initiated into this Mithra Lodge. Your initiation, they cut a bull, and they would sprinkle blood on you and bless you. If you go look up the word blessing, they'll tell you that you have been, blood has been sprinkled on you on a pagan altar. That means that you're an initiate of Mithra. The head of the of Constantine was the head of Mithra. He is called Promus Maximus. He's called Pater in Latin, mm-hmm. the same as Father. But the Promus Maximus, well, if we go into Vatican City, the head pope is called Promus Maximus. Ain't nothing here no more. I mean, it ain't nothing but a straight bus that we got right now. He's called mm-hmm. the Promus Maximus. Now, I find it interesting because the immersion of you being baptized by immersion was at CE 300, which changed from sprinkling, but the Methodists never did change from sprinkling. See, the Methodists sprinkle you. You ain't dipped in the water three times and damn near drowned those three times. Praying for the dead started at CE 300. That's against the teaching of Deuteronomy the 18th and 11th. This is against the teaching of Yahshua, praying for the dead. Making the sign of the cross came at CE 310. Council mm-hmm. of Nicene, the East Council of Nicene. They have a chronological order, you can Google it, of everything that they change in that period of time up until now. Now, every nation of, if I ask you what's your name, you would tell me that you are black Gentile. You tell me, you give me a white man's name. He has totally conquered you. You can see, I mean, it's no ifs, ands, buts about you being conquered by Magog and Gog in 2022 because we're sitting here looking at it. We're looking at the paganism. Right. You're looking at the Christmas tree. You're looking at Christmas. Christmas was the birthday of Mithra. This is the reason that the Orthodox churches broke away from the Roman Catholic Church and became Orthodox churches and broke away. The Catholics broke away and became Catholic, not Roman Catholic. Then the Orthodox churches broke away at 1025 and became all because of the birthday of Mithra being on the 25th of December, which if you go straight back in the history, which is Nimrod's birthday, before it became Mithra's birthday. See, when we study in a chronological order, you see everything that this boy Magog and Gog, who we call white folks, have changed the name. It's, they put a big dragnet over you, and they say change the name for to protect the innocent, no, to protect the guilty. That's the reason they changed the name. They went from change your name in 1970 and made completely zip goddamn fools out of some people that once was colored people that's Negro, and then the person born after 1970 don't even know who this is. All of your feast days that's in this calendar, you only have them in this calendar, pagan. So you wonder what's wrong with you is that you can't read, because it is very clear in your Bible. It says, envy not your oppressor, choose none his ways. That's Proverbs 3:31. At Matthew, the 10th chapter of Matthew, the disciples didn't know who to talk to. This is Yehuda. You call him Jesus Christ. And this is this word Christ. It was Krishna. And Mithraism carries with it. It's a holy trinity. You don't see nothing about no trinity in the Bible, but you worship a trinity because of Mithraism.
Exactly.
Mithraism on the trinity. And so you don't see this. And when you are hoodwinked and caber-toed by this, see, all the laws, even the blue law that used to be in effect here in America, when I was a little boy, you had blue law. I mean, you couldn't buy and sell on Sunday. Well, that started in Rome. That started in Rome, up under Mithraism. All of this started at a particular time that we did not go and check the history out of what was given to us by this white man called a government. You see, he didn't want you to be no Christian. You asked to be this. Everything you ask him, he gave it to you if it was to his advantage. Ask yourself why he didn't integrate to 1970. That's 100 years after 1870 to 1970 is 100 years. He wouldn't integrate with you until he knew that you was a zip goddamn fool, that he had you. If every religion talks about this, paganism in its religion. Now, I've told you about Christianity, and Brother Mahal is going to enlighten you of what is said in the Quran and the Torah about this pagan religion, about these people, Magog and Gog. We're dealing with Magog and Gog because right now they're in the news 24/7. You don't know who Rush is. It was Rush before it was Russia.
First of all, because this is all tied in, because a country like Iran, today known as Iran, going back to Mithra, okay, Mithras, it says, as a member of the Iranian Ahuric Triad. Is that three again? Everybody's got this trinity kicking live. And it says, which has something to do with the Zoroastrian religion. So the question, when we get to the part about Islam and paganism, why in the world, with these versions of Arabic Qurans we have in the world, do we have Zoroastrians mentioned in there? Because their stuff's pagan. Why is it in there? Who put it there? And what time frame did this happen? So we're going to deal with that in a minute. But there's something very interesting about what they're actually worshiping, because it says, let me find it here. Here's the question. It says, is Mithra a man or a woman? Here's the surprise. Mithra is a girl's name, meaning origin and popularity. How many people actually knew that? So, again, if we're talking about, you got to go way back again, because the biblical allegorical name of Hawa that they translated to English as Eve, Eve, she, you and I both know this from our training and learning, right? She has 28 names. She's the queen of heaven. She's also Lilith. She's all of these names that you can find and track to. So what exactly are these other people? Because if you want to use the story about Adam, okay, well, you have to say which Adam are you speaking of? Because everyone running around in a humanoid form is not from just some quote-unquote one guy. That's not how that works, okay? It don't work like that. So when he said everybody's created in pairs and this, that, and the other, how many pairs are we talking about of the Adamic strain, the O-positive people? Blood type O, seven distinct families are created at the same time from the birthing mothers. That is not to be confused with Mitra. This is something entirely different. So after the fact and confusion, conjecture broke out amongst the people who had knowledge, now you got all of this factionalism and in-house fighting and cross-factional fighting. So one sect is trying to take out the other sect. That's what some of the problems with these wars have been in the past. We're not talking World War I and World War II. We're talking about going back to the days of just blood being shed, because you are a group that is poses as a threat. So the birth of the quote-unquote Masonic order from the ancient side has to do with they had to take the knowledge, wisdom, and science and go underground with it, or else if they're out in the open, you can correct me on this too, Brother Duadia, if they had remained out in the open, they would be definitely put into harm's way. And everyone who thought they were somebody running something was after your head for knowing, and even for just starting out a brief conversation. They were way more brutal then than they are now. You have a little bit of liberty. We have a little bit of liberty right now. And by the way, that's one of Eve's name also, Lady Liberty. That's one of her names. Queen of Heaven, that's another one. Mother of All Living, that's another one. Mother, and see, I also tracked it recently to what they call the establishment of the Mother of the Dark Order, and turns out they are quote-unquote vampires. And they are still alive and well, and yes, all of their stuff remain out of plain sight. They're supposed to see this, okay? So you got them with the mitochondrial DNA strand paying homage to who they say is the woman, and now we're saying is Mitra. And you can't leave out a part of something that happened that we were discussing in our class back during the days of the language, where we had the etymological Hebrew language dictionary, which points to the origin of Hebrew words used today, what their original application and use was. So when they used the word Adonai in Judaism, Adonai is told to us on the surface that it's masculine. No, it is not. And I co-went over this once too, because he commented on the last part of that word. Nai, as it's pronounced today, was the Egyptian goddess Nut, who is credited with the creation of man with a drop of blood on the potter's wheel. And it was him who expounded on that in the class. So, Cole, we're giving you a shout-out because you made that quite clear about what's really going on. So it said that it went from feminine gender in the etymological Hebrew language dictionary to now it's said it is masculine. So they're all worshiping some woman of some kind, and it's still supposed to be kept out of view. So they say, well, who is Mithra God? And it says it is Mith, and then they say is Mithras the same as Apollo. So they got goddess Mitra, same as sun god Apollo, and transformed in the Roman culture name is God, as you said, what the Pope has, is God's soul Invictus. So all of this, before these cats busted out on the scene in an organized fashion, and mind you, I'm not pinpointing because you already did it very well, timelines. So very interesting, in the world of Islam, there is this declaration in Arabic, and it's in the Quran. It says, La ilaha illallah. Okay, so let's break that down piece by piece. La means, in Hebrew, like lo, it means not. So keep the no or the not separate from the rest of the statement, okay? Ilaha illa, so it's like ilaha means it's the feminine word, which represents today in English goddess. Illa means only but or except, okay? Illa law, that's masculine. So it's so basically what we translate it as, no deities, only the deity, masculine. So now you said not the goddess, not the goddess or a goddess, only except the god. And I don't know how many people look at that phrase, but you can break that phrase down piece by piece, and this is what you're getting with that expression. So they say in Islam, it began in 7th century. No, it did not. The takeover happened in 7th century, and there's a brother who's got a YouTube channel, Ali. It's called Aboriginal Media Productions. I think that's the name of his YouTube channel. Very good information to get up there. The brother did write a book called The Lost Pages of Islam. Get that book, because he's got very interesting things. And he even talks about the sidereal calendar. I did a lecture years ago about the calendar and the Pope Greg the 13th, and Christopher Clavius, his Jesuit mathematician. And keep in mind what he was, a mathematician, skilled in linear and Boolean algebra. So in your ninth grade, just to jar everybody's memory, when you had ninth grade algebra, you learned about determinants and matrices, manipulation of rows and columns. So look at the story they gave us, Brother Dawadia. They said this guy erased 11 days off a calendar. You can't do that like that, and that is not what they meant by erasing. So when you're dealing with linear Boolean algebra, the concept about what you're doing is not the same as straightforward arithmetic. This is not arithmetic. So addition and linear Boolean algebra means multiplication. Subtraction means division. It's not the same. And you cannot take a pencil with a fat eraser and erase 11 days off the calendar. You can't do that like that, because it's how the theories, the axioms that govern what a row and what a column is first, and what you can do with them, and how and what you need to do with them in order to achieve a particular outcome that you're looking for. And this is also still prevalent in high-level mathematics as well. Mathematical physics, quantum physics, theoretical chemistry, all of this stuff, okay? And just mathematics is a purely science that a lot of people still do major in as a science in of itself. So you just can't do that like that, where you just erase it because I'm going to take off 11 days and you erase 11 days off. What kind of calendar are you talking about? So he hired this Jesuit mathematician skilled in linear and Boolean algebra. And when he got through doing the mathematics, and you can find the equation for this in any book that deals with numerical recipes and whatever programming language you're in. So in my day, I had the C language. This is all before PCs. So you had to write all your code by hand. And we purchased these books from the college bookstore to help assist us with calculations, subroutines, or bits and pieces of a program that was already written All you had to do was look at it, understood, and then in your coding, embed that program into your program and set up the variables, which means something that you're going to pass data to. Now, let me tell you a little trick of how they did it, because you can see that they threw everything off by 3 months and 3 days and possibly 7 to 8 years. This is how they did this. So in the math, it says if you're looking for what day of the week on a day's date, okay, if it's before 1582, October 4th, skip using the Gregorian calculation. Don't use it, okay? Now, this was a homework assignment, okay? And it has to also do with what day of the week was certain phases of the moon going to show up, full moon, new moon, all this other stuff, okay? So I did the homework assignment, and then I started thinking about what the IGREG, which is the iteration, which is really dedicated to Pope Greg. So it's called IGREG in the mathematical book. So I said, okay, let me remove this entire routine out of here. Remark it out. I rimmed it out, and then I said, okay, so what day of the week would today's date, like they said today is what, the 18th or something? So instead of it saying the 19th is Saturday, it's not going to show up that it's Saturday. It's going to show up with a different day of the week for this year, 2022. You can prove this out by getting an almanac. And when you get an almanac, in there is something called a perpetual calendar. So you take 2022 and go 8 years forward, or you can go 8 years backwards. And then find your date and look to see what day of the week it says it is. So it is working congruent with what the mathematical hijack of giving you a different calendar is doing to you today. Now, something else to look at. It's off by 3 months. How do we know that? Or 2 months at least. They tell you September is the ninth month. But what does sept in Latin mean? It means seven. Oct is eight. Novi is nine. Deci is 10. So out of your mouth, you're saying the name of the month, December. But you turn around and lie to yourself and say, yeah, December is the 12th month. No, that's not how it was. And it was a different calendar system that they got acclimated to before 1582. Now, when they were done doing what they needed to do, wars did break out, courtesy of the Catholic Church, because it took them back from 1582, and when that Jesuit mathematician was done, he says, okay, in order for this calendar to work the way we need to do it, you need to pick up a calendar that was previously passed, 1574. Picked up 1574, and people said, oh, you just took some years off my life. There was all kinds of wars that broke out. This country did not accept the Gregorian calendar until the late 1800s. I want to say 1881, somewhere around there. They didn't accept it. Canada didn't accept it yet either. This country still held to the Julian Caesar calendar, which is an entirely different way for counting time. So it's just interesting how they did that. So we're off by, according to how I calculated it, 3 months and 3 days. You're out of phase by 3 days. And the esoteric books that were written, such as The Seals of Solomon, any of those books published in the 1800s, when you get to what the color vibration is for each day of the week and all of that, okay, well, they wasn't using the Gregorian calendar. So their manner of counting time, which had a lot of other esoteric pieces to it, including on seven such day of the week, this is the color that vibrates. And then when the books came out after that, Silver Solomon books, and I had a chance to do this back in New York, when you look at the two, you see that the newer books has what's going on with this fake calendar we got today. So today, the new books is going to say today is Saturday, tomorrow is Sunday. And here's the color vibration for it. The whole thing is out of whack right now. Now, I want to mention something because you talked to me about this, if it's okay, Brother Duarte. You were asking me about aspects of paganism in Islam.
Brother,
yes.
Brother,
yes, sir.
I want you to explain what the Quran in the cave says about Magog and Gog also. I want you to explain that.
Okay.
And
here's, well, let me get to that right now before I forget.
One other thing. You had to understand that Hinduism is the oldest religion. It came in 1000 B.C. Then Yehudism came in 2500 B.C. They started Yehudism at 2500 B.C. because so many of the Yehudis was switching over to Hindus. But we see that Yehudism got corrupted with Zoroastrianism, which came at 1200 B.C. This is how paganism got into Yehudism. So if you have to trace these religions right down the line, 600 B.C. with Jainism, Taoism, Buddhism, and Confucianism, all your Orientalist religions started at 600 B.C., Christianity at A.D. 4, Islam at A.D. 625, Sikhism at A.D. 1500. These are your major religions. But if you study in a chronological order, you see paganism coming in each one of those religions, moving away from the way. Also, something else that you said, if you go to Psalm 68 and 4, it is said that the God of heaven, which that's incorrect, it should be God. It's because they'll tell you it's J-A-H. Well, J-A-H was translated from I-A-H, and I-A-H was translated from Y-A-H. Y-A-H is in its feminine form. I-A-H is in its feminine form. See, and when it's in its feminine form, then you would know that the God of heaven, if it's in its first place of heaven, was female. Everything that you see in creation is feminine. It's not masculine. Everything you see is feminine. This is how you be reborn. Birth is feminine. Everything is feminine. You had to understand that also. But I want you to explain what the Quran and the Torah says about these people, Magog and Gog. Go ahead on, brother.
Okay, so this is chapter 18 of the Quran, and you remember Darius and Cyrus from the history that they had told us about them. Now, Darius was in rulership or had authority over two empires. You remember that? The Ram and the other empire, okay? The Persians and the Medes. That's what they had told us in history. So in Arabic, he's known, his name, which is two-horned, Dhul al-Qarnayn. So that represents the two-horned one with respect to authority that he had. And it says, and I'm going to read it right out of here. I will recite to you something of his account. We established him in the earth and gave him the means to achieve everything. Then he followed a certain way until when he reached the setting place of the sun, he found it setting as if in a pool of murky water. And near it, he found a people. We said, Dhul al-Qarnayn, you may punish them or treat them with kindness. That's the opener. Now, let me skip to something that it said very interesting about these people, these Gog and Magog people. Watch this. He said, until when he reached the open place between the two mountains, so we got to keep that in mind, two mountains, he found beneath them a people who could scarcely understand a word of what he said. They were speaking something completely different and had great difficulty in comprehending what this man was saying. So you have to understand what this individual language he was vernaculating in, and the other folks on the other side, they couldn't speak it. So there was a problem of communication right there, right off the jump. Foreigners of some kind. They said, the ones that he's there to help, Dhul al-Qarnayn, verily, Gog and Magog are creating disorder in the earth. Shall we then pay thee tribute on condition that thou set up a barrier between us and them? And he replied, the power of which my Lord has endowed me about this is better than resources of my enemies, but you may help me with strength of laborers. So, yeah, now they're trying to build a barrier to keep them out. But here's something he said. He said, so they, Gog and Magog, were not able to scale it, nor were they able to dig through it. Thereupon he said, this is a mercy from my Lord, but when the promise of my Lord shall come to pass, he will break it into pieces, and the promise of my Lord is certainly true. So it says, now it says, and on that day we shall leave some of them to surge against others. That's these wars and all this insane stuff we got going on here. It says, and the trumpet will be blown, then shall we gather them all together. And on that day we shall present hell face to face to these rejectors. Watch this. Whose eyes were under a veil, not heeding my reminder, and they could not even afford to hear. So that is that piece out of Surah 18 called Al-Kahf, the cave. And there's a lot more to that. But Gog and Magog has got a problem. Now, you asked me about a word, and I do have it written down here as well. Dajjal. Well, it's a compound word. Okay, D-A-J-J, long A sound, and the letter L. It represents deceiver, trickster. They put here as well antichrist, a cheat, imposter, a quack, a charlatan, a swindler. Now, the part of the word that you and I was discussing today, the A-J-J out of it, it means to burn, blaze, flame, or it puts here fire, to light, to kindle, to start a fire. That is the major piece of Gog's definition. This is what they do, to include invasion, conquering, never satisfied, and they do not remain in one place. So they say, go forth and conquer. So what was that expression they used here in this land? The white man's destiny. Okay? And people are saying, well, what the hell does he really mean by that? So, and also keep in mind, there are two sets of Gog and Magog. You got one set that was already existing during the days of Enoch. Now, if you think about the timeline of when they said Enoch was around, there is no Noah yet. So there's no Noah, no three sons yet. So the other descendancy of Gog and Magog is also in the bloodline of Japheth. And remember, we mentioned about the Yaffe people. You were talking about the word meant fair and stuff like that. Yeah, well, they shortened it in English. So instead of saying Yaffir, they say fair. So the YA is completely gone. So you really don't get the link who this is exactly talking about, because now everyone is using this word in the English language when we talk, oh, she's so fair, you know, he's fair. And you say, yeah, usually that means light skin, such and such people, it fits with certain people's phenotype. Yes, that word has its origin in the original word, because although Japheth is supposed to be the son of Noah, okay, according to how it's written, it also means vanity. It also means to go out and have sex too. So it's like, well, Abram, Yaphet, his wife, Sarah. So we still have the connection with this same Hebrew word. Oh, okay, so he went in unto her. Right. So that's the cleaned up English way to say it. But the word means, yeah, he went and he did it. Yeah, knock boots. He did it. What additional questions do you have while we're still on this piece right here? Japheth, seven sons, Gomer, Magog, Magi, Javan, you know them as the Greeks, Tubal, Meshech, Tarshish. They say that's supposed to be quote-unquote Spain. It's originally Gomer, Ashkenaz, Raphat, Togarmah. And then you have Magog, and then you have who is supposed to be connected to them. Now, you remember the word Lunden. Well, how about we replace that with Lubal?
Right.
Javan, Elisha, Tasha, Chittim. That's supposed to be one of the original names for the Romans and Dudim. So look at the words we use in the English. Hey, look out, dude. What are we really saying when we're doing things like this? Because these words that we're saying in English did not originate in English in and of itself as a language. It's borrowed from everyone's language. Very interesting. Very, very interesting stuff. Also, in chapter 21, let me find it here. There's a blurb in here about Gog and Magog again. Let me find it here, if I can. So Gog and Magog is in some serious trouble. And the things that they're doing, this transcends what a person's color might be. Because, you know, you and I were discussing that. They said, well, you know, they're saying Putin, Gog and Magog. Okay, he may or may not be. He may or may not be. Remember, the pale skins that are over there now dislodged those who were originally black skinned as well. And they said there was some 30-year war, finally, that took place that drove many of them so-called Negroes over here. And we already kind of know who a lot of them are because their blood types are not the same as ours. We know that. We listen to what they say, and you can't shake them from their paganism. For some reason, you cannot shake them. You know, you can talk to your blue in the face about, listen, man, you guys are worshiping the hippie on a stick. That's all there's to it, okay? You know, I come from New York. They don't have no mercy about it, and the Knesset's over there. Hey, hold up. No, listen, you can't come up here with that hippie on the stick stuff. I don't care. If you change the color of him being from white to black, you know. And also, you mentioned the word Christ. I need to say this. Christ, as an old Egyptian word, is the word K-A-R-A-S-T, Karast. That, this coming Easter, when the Pope gets out there, and he's out there mumbling about some stuff, and he's telling you it's the Eucharistic prayer, Eucharist. Look at what he's saying, coronation, Eucharist, and Karas means now is his time. Now, take that and come into the world of Islam. What do they teach outside the Quran? They teach that there's a Mahdi who's going to come, and they say that Christ is coming back. And Christ is, those two are going to be working together. They're going to come to some place in Damascus, at some place that's really going to be deemed as a sacred site. And he's going to be fighting the unbelievers, okay? So it's like, hold on. So Mahdi is supposed to mean the rightly guided one. Right, it's from the word Hud, Huda, which means, it also means praise, but it also means guidance. The one who is God, which is one of the names of the tribe of Israel, right? Yehuda. So with this guy, everyone don't quite get what the trick is. Who they say is the Mahdi and the rightly guided and Christ back together, Isa back together, okay? That's your Antichrist. That is your Antichrist. There's nobody coming back like that. And right here in the Quran, in chapter 23, verse 50 or 51, it said, it lets you know that who did, the original guy, he lived to be an old age, him and his mother, and settled in a high elevated place where they finally lived out the rest of their days until he died naturally of natural causes. That's in the book, which does not match what the doctrine of Islam is teaching right now. It doesn't match that. There is no him coming back in the Quran. It's not in Arabic that he's coming back. But this is what they teach. And the thing about the Mahdi and the rightly guided one, that's not in the Quran either. All of that is outside information. So the script got flipped in 7th century A.D., when originally around 2nd century A.D. is when the real guy was on. And he was not an Arab. He was a Saracen. And today you would link them with the original Abyssinians, who would be known as the House of Israel, or Beta Israel, coming out of Ethiopia. And that information that I'm aware of, that's correct. So they want the war, the Arabs, they want the war against the originals. And now the whole faith is hijacked. And the place that they're calling the sacred place, the kissing of the cobblestone, Hajar al-Aswad, in the Old Testament, woe to those who say that this stone shall teach me. But yet in Arabic, you have a term that's been used for these folks who go on pilgrimage over there, and they're saying, how do you ask them? So this is the stone that is held in high regard, and it has great significance to them, to the point that they got to kiss the thing. They got to touch it. They got to cry. They do all of this stuff with this stone. That in both ways, they were warned not to do that. So there are some serious issues here. And there's aspects of necromancy and the Muslim prayer today. There's a part before they finish their prayer. It's called Taslim, where they turn to the right, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, turn to the left, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, right? Before they do that part to finish their prayer, they're talking to the dead. Who they're talking to? Whoever this Muhammad that they set up in 7th century A.D., they're saying, Assalamu alayka, that's second person, same in Hebrew, same in Arabic. So you're greeting somebody as though they're standing in front of you. Instead of saying alayhim, which means he's passed away, or you speaking of him and he's no longer around. No, they don't do that. Assalamu alayka, ayyuha an-nabi, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That's what they're saying in Arabic today. That's necromancy. You ain't supposed to be doing that, and they're doing it. So the hijack, as you can see, my brother, paganism of various different forms, more than we can cover in this one-hour program. Oh, it's deep.
Right.
It's very, very deep, and it's wide. They then turned around and gave their Muhammad a sunnah. A sunnah means a way, a practice, something to do, right? Well, in the Quran, there is nobody who has such a thing called a sunnah except the God himself. And he says that in Arabic, sunnah to Allah. His way. His way, and he put you in it. They didn't. So when you're looking in the back of most of these indexes for the word sunnah, in the back of the Quran that have Arabic and English in it, and you're looking in the back for sunnah, nah, you're not going to find it. But you got to go to an Islamic encyclopedia handbook, and it tells you, watch this. Islamic encyclopedia handbook clearly states this. In the matters where sunnah is in conflict with the Quran, sunnah is made to prevail over the Quran, unquote. That's an Islamic source of information that clearly states that. We don't care what the Quran say, okay? And that's what it's like saying. They didn't flip him the bird. They created the bird. We don't care what he say. This is what we're doing. And this is how we say should be done for these matters. Yes, sir.
Brother Mahal, we don't have that much long. Could you expound on Ahmazah, A-H-Z, that came out of Zoroastrianism?
Yes, that is part of the, and it's Hindu too, that's part of the triad. So Ahura Mazda, remember the name of the car? Mazda, what are they saying? Spelled exactly the same way, M-A-Z-D-A. So you're driving around in something that is made in paying homage to one of these to this idolatrous triad. So and it says Ahuru Berezeti. Okay, and also they give you the names of it in Hindi. Okay, it says Mitra is an exalted figure together with Rashnu, justice. And Shirosha, obedience, Mithra is one of the three judges at the Chinvat Bridge, the bridge of separation that all souls must cross. Did you hear what I read?
Yes, I heard it.
Okay. And it says, when is the birthday of Mithra? Now, remember, it's the name of a girl. So this is really a goddess that they're saying is masculine saying God. They're not even using the word goddess. It says, December 25th, birthday of Mithras, the sun god. And this is written about in this guy's journal, Akron Beacon. Akron Beacon Journal. December 25th.
One other thing, Brother Mahal, when you're
yes.
tracing this, you got to, I'm talking to the audience, you got to understand that the word God is a 6th century word. Before it was God, it was Guden. That's the 4th
yes.
century word. 3rd century word was Woden. 1st century was Odin. So Odin is Woden. Woden in this language is Wednesday.
Right.
Guden.
And the word God, the word God, the word God is not pronounced God from the people who was using the word. It was pronounced goat, which is the closest
goat.
That we have in English, G-O-A-T. So
yes.
What did the Old Testament say about this in the Torah? You are not to worship the he-goat demon, the she'irin. Don't do that, okay? And then it has a name, Azazel. That's his name. He's referred to as, but what most people sleep on is the she devil, the she goat. You just don't have a male goat and no female goats either. So she is known as a she'ira. Now, I also put forth this something to think about. You know, in English pronouns, right, when it gets to the female gender, they say she, right? She. Have you thought about what the she is? What are they really saying when they say she? It's a shortened form for she-goat demon, she'ira. So instead of saying the whole thing, cut it short in English. So now anytime you're referring to an English a woman as she, you already said that she's a demon. That's what you're saying, and she's your adversary. And a demon in Greek, old Greek language, meant someone who does bad things. Bad behavior, bad conduct. Now take a look outside and see what's going on. So they've named things for a reason, but in the original languages, there's no such concept as it's a she like that. No, female gender is a he-ya. He-ya, ha-ya. Masculine is hawa. Masculine entity means he exists. He-ya means the female gender exists. Has to do with existing, got nothing to do with tied with faults, sins, and none of this kind of stuff. But in English, yeah, we're using these pronouns all the time and don't realize you're cursing somebody out and you don't even know you're actually cursing them out. You don't even know you're doing that. So that's my 2 cents on my thoughts on that. I mean, we tried to make the best of this one-hour program, and I just hope that the listening audience actually got something out of it and go back to school and start studying again. Relearn English, and this time get you a metaphysical dictionary of the English language. Get a book like that and and learn what it is that you are really actually saying and why before you can take one step forward, you can get knocked back four steps back, 10 steps back, and you don't quite understand why you can't accomplish what you're trying to accomplish because you've already been hijacked. And now now it's like, what's that word they use? The word escapes me right now. That they actually use to say what's been done to you. And that's my 2 cents.